At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Sometimes the safest place is the most dangerous. You're tuned in to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring psychotherapist and author Siobhan Scott.
When you're talking to someone like that with kind of the irrational fears, you know, what do you say to them? How do you try and calm that down? Is there a way, from a psychological standpoint that you take with individuals like that?
I think, you know, it's important to not laugh at them or denigrate them, which, you know, with some of this stuff, it can be rather funny when you hear the fears.
I'm guilty of that.
Yeah. Well, so am I, especially when it came to the microwave.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, get over it. But acknowledging, usually trying to get people to listen to you, you acknowledge that it makes them nervous and you can acknowledge the anxiety and then just explain the basic facts. And there's going to be a percentage of people that are convinced by that. But a lot of people, if they have this heightened level of paranoia and that's just the way they go through their life, they're probably not going to listen. They're still going to be opposed to it. But a person that's that anxious is not going to do a DNA test just because of those factors, I think.
What's interesting is I don't think a lot of people even realize you don't even have to do the DNA test yourself to be in the database. If you're up to your second cousin did it, and very likely if you have a second cousin or you have any sort of extended family, you're in that database, or at least it's close enough that they could find you if someone wanted to find you. So it doesn't even really matter anymore if you do the test or not. Someone close to you probably has at some point in time.
Yeah, yeah, very true. I can't even count how many fifth cousins I have in the world at this point. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and people are connected going back to the 1600s. I mean, it's pretty amazing, and I find it miraculous. I welcome it. I think it's, you know, a step forward for humankind to have this all connected, and we learn so much about our health risks. So I'm in the camp of tipping the scales toward this is a really good thing, and let's get over our fears about it.
The fears, I think, sometimes with people go beyond just, oh my God, they're going to accuse me of a crime. Because my argument to that is, no, they're not. They're going to eliminate you from that pool because that's what it does. It's that good. It's not like, oh, so I wonder if this person. No, it will point to the right person. And if it's not you, it's not you. Mm-hmm. But I think sometimes people have other fears of their own history being brought up into this. Things that, you know, they never talked about again. And, you know, maybe children out there that they don't know about or suspect maybe out there or are unsure of from a different promiscuous time in their life. What about that? What about the privacy concerns there that people have with IgG? Because it can certainly be used beyond just crime solving. I can't tell you, looked up my own on, I think it was Ancestry, and there's some folks out there that are registered and believed to be like first cousins who I have no idea who the hell they are. Mm-hmm. And it kind of opens the closet to people's skeletons. But at the same point, these are lives. These are people that matter. They shouldn't have their identity hidden because the person that created them doesn't want to be caught or doesn't want to know. What's your thoughts on that? I mean, people, they didn't sign up to have those sort of things exposed, but inevitably it does.
Yeah, it works both ways. You know, a lot of people come to therapy after finding out dad is not their biological dad, you know, and that can be a very tricky thing to help people navigate. Do they keep that private? Do they confront? And my husband, speaking of that, found that two of his sisters were actually half sisters and not, you know, not the people that they thought. So it didn't really impact his family in that way because there had always been suspicions and other weird things. And a lot of people welcome having that information. It explains some things to them, you know, why they felt like they never actually fit in with the other kids. And so it can be a double-edged sword, I think, probably for people who have committed indiscretions and want to keep it private, it's probably very scary for them at this point because they are being confronted with the past and their secrets. But I think a lot of good comes from it. And it's one of those tricky things that we're going to be sorting out. How do we help people, you know, make peace with this for a long time?
Yeah, without a doubt. There's someone that I know that's close to me who had a very similar thing happen to what you just said, where it turned out, you know, one of the parents was not the actual parent. They found this out after they had passed. Yeah. And they had been very, very close to that person all the way up until death. Now, in reality, that doesn't necessarily change any sort of relationship that you'd have with that person. If that person was a mother or a father to you and they were that person to you, that's how they were in life, then that's who they were in life. It's just the DNA that doesn't necessarily match up. I suppose you do have the choice. You are rolling the dice if you sign up for one of those services to look at that information yourself that could reveal something like that. You can't control your family members from signing up. And then at Thanksgiving, you get the, oh, by the way, you can't believe what I just found out. You may just need to say, I don't want to know. Don't tell me about it. So there is that. But I mean, the information could still come to you even if you don't want it. Again, is it just kind of one of those things in life that is now here? It's a newer piece of technology. It helps us solve crimes. It helps people find out the reality of what their life is and helps them deal with reality on reality terms. The problem is a lot of people aren't so good at dealing with reality on reality's terms.
Yeah, they're not. I have seen it be incredibly helpful in cases of adoptees looking for, you know, who are my biological relatives. And it's been a good thing. But undoubtedly, there are people who put kids up for adoption that don't want to be found. And so the double-edged sword there. But it's here. It's not going away. More and more people are using it. It's becoming the norm rather than the exception. So I think it's another one of those things we're just going to have to adjust to it and know that there will occasionally be tricky problems we have to help people work out.
One of the, I made an analogy the other day on this, and I'm not too sure how it holds up, but it was, as we get new technology, and this specifically relates to the crime area of this, radar detectors were new ones too. That was new technology. You used to have to be the police saw you speeding or doing something illegal, then they would go after you, but they had to kind of guess if you were speeding. And it had to be pretty obvious. You know, one could argue, well, I didn't sign up for anybody to be able to check that out, my speed information on me. Well, yeah, but the technology exists that they can do that now, and then they can use that to basically stop a crime. Fairly minute in most cases, speeding, unless you're insane with it. But again, it's there. It happens. We just kind of have to deal with it. Do you think this is going to be the argument that it is right now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, as it just becomes more generationally accepted as part of life?
Yeah, it is just a part of life. It is not going to go away. And I think people will become less freaked out and paranoid by it, hopefully over time. And ultimately, it's, I think, going to be a benefit. I think overall, it will do a lot of good. And yeah, speaking of radar, what about those cameras at intersections? You know, how unfair is that?
I've been
tagged a couple times that way.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, it's one of those things where we have weird laws where audio seems to be the big one in most cases. I think in most places you can be filmed without your consent. Now, it's one thing if you're going to use it commercially or something, but you can be filmed without your consent. And that's one of those things where, you know, people can be mad at that too. And you could, I guess, theoretically get legislation in place that says that you can't do that. I don't think it would ever pass anymore because everybody's got a camera and everybody's filming everything everywhere they go. But again, it's just, it's kind of part of life as it is now. And whether you like it or not, it's there. It can be used for good. I guess it can be used for bad in some, I don't even know, ways quite yet. Yeah. But it is what it is. And it's likely it's going to be here to stay.
Yep.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You're in the thick of a true crime saga, every detail sinking in. And then, wham, a commercial about something you couldn't care less about. It's like being served a microwaved dinner at a five-star restaurant. But it doesn't have to be this way. Go for True Crime Today, Premium Plus, on Apple Podcasts. With True Crime Today, Premium Plus, you get uninterrupted, ad-free episodes, extended interviews that dig even deeper into the muck, and early access so you can brag to your friends. It's like ordering the secret menu at a crime buffet. So, search for True Crime Today, Premium Plus, on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and savor every twisted detail without interruption.